Jesus was both God's son and God's servant. In our text today, we also heard and saw the cloud theme appear in both the Old Testament and the Gospel. And in the answer to the question, what is behind the cloud, the Old Testament answers, God the lawgiver. At the transfiguration of the Lord, the law is represented in the persons of Moses. But the covenant of the law is superseded by Jesus, who takes center stage when he is declared God's son. And we read, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Jesus reassures his inner circle of Peter, James, and John by telling them, don't be afraid. He then instructs them not to tell anyone of their experience on the mountain until he has been raised from the dead. Today's epistle lesson reports how Peter carries out his instructions of Jesus by boldly talking about the transfiguration years later. Peter gave his eyewitness testimony. He says, in effect, I was there. This is not folklore or myth. This happened. The glory of the transfiguration, according to Peter, provided a foretaste of Christ coming in clouds of glory at the end of time to establish his kingdom. In the words of the collect today, in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wondrously foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Today, the metaphor of the cloud applies to both Old Testament and Gospel lessons. And clouds themselves can represent both the highs and lows of life, both a theology of glory and a theology of the cross. Our meditation will follow the theme of the clouds. We begin our meditation in prayer. Father, help us now as we meditate on your word. Speak to each of us through your Holy Spirit that we might understand, believe, and live in the light of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The account of the transfiguration of our Lord offers rich meteorological metaphors. In addition to the symbolism of the clouds, we also find the analogy of barometric highs and lows. High barometric pressure usually brings clear skies and sunshine, while low barometric pressure brings clouds and rain. In a similar way, life itself is a succession of highs and lows. Most of us would prefer a life of permanent highs, clear skies, and perpetual sunshine. But we need both sunshine and rain. This succession of highs and lows reveals a pattern in our life of our Lord. And we, the servant, are no greater than the master. What happened to Jesus happens also to us today. You may remember in our study, the Screwtape Letters with C.S. Lewis, he refers to this succession of highs and lows in his personal life as the law of undulation. We refer to them simply as the ups and downs of life. I had a boss who used to say, well, Dave, some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug. It's just the way it works. This morning, we'll meditate on these highs and lows with the theme of the cloud. The first one, the clouds of life can represent the highs in our life. We speak of being in the clouds, or we're on cloud nine. It is a euphoric state that we would like to perpetuate. Like Peter in today's gospel, we would like to build tents or booths and set up a permanent residence in this state of euphoria. Some commentators suggest that the Feast of the Tabernacles, also known as Feast of the Booths, was marked by enthusiasm over the coming triumph of Israel. Tents celebrated the victory ahead. All of us have tendencies towards such triumphalism or a theology of glory, believing that this is the natural habitat for a Christian. adapt the Christian way of life, they say, and you are guaranteed success in every way. Even the gospel itself sometimes is redefined to fit this theology of glory. In answer to the question, what then is the gospel? One theologian wrote, God can change your life and he can use you to change the world. That may be true, but it's not the gospel. The religion of glory always wants to have Easter without Good Friday. Christianity is a religion of the cross because it is the good news of a God that did not stay in a remote protection of heaven, far from the struggles that we engage in every day. On the contrary, God came into our life through his Son. And here he drank to the full the cup of suffering, temptation, sorrow that we experience each day. Jesus could call his followers to take up their crosses because he first bore his own cross. Secondly, the clouds of life can represent the lows in our life. Sometimes we speak of living under a cloud and the references to a cloud of misfortune. When it's cloudy, we find our vision obscured and unclear. Living under a cloud can represent a depressed or troubled state of mind. We all experience the lows in life, the lows of sickness, failure, disappointment. And yet these lows can become our finest hour. During the Second World War, Winston Churchill told the British people what to expect. He said it would take blood, sweat, and tears to meet the challenge of the war years. But he also predicted that the time would come when people would say, this was our finest hour. So likewise, Jesus said the real challenges of life could only be met through the acceptance of a cross, through blood, sweat, and tears. He said that this was true of his own life and would be true of his followers as well. It would seem good to always be up, but that would be impossible and unrealistic. Even Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration had to return to the valley of life with its difficulties and stresses. Mountaintop experiences deplete our energy because of the high emotional level in which we operate. It is necessary to return to routine, to rest, evaluate, and learn from experience. The agony and the ecstasy provided the balance that makes up life's pilgrimage. It is true of the children of Israel. It is true of our journey in life. The Israelites struggled through the desert wilderness after the escape from Egypt. As with them, so it is with us. Atmospheric clouds called cirrus and cumulus depend upon their height above the ground. Likewise, the clouds of life can be cirrus and cumulative. Cumulative and cumulative come from the same root word, which means to heap up or pile up. Accidents, deaths among friends or relatives, trouble in the workplace, strife in the home or in other relationships, often all seem to come at the same time. We often joke about deaths seem to come in three. We capture these in the familiar phrase, when it rains, it pours. This need not surprise us. It is not yet time for the second coming of our Lord and the end of sorrow and pain. So we ask, what is behind the cloud? Or maybe the better question is, who is behind the cloud? God, the lawgiver, and Moses? In the Old Testament reading, God invites Moses up beyond the cloud to give him the tablets on which he was inscribed the commandments. Given in love, it represents God's expectations for humankind. And when it is violated, it incurs God's wrath, as it did on the children of Israel when Moses came down from the mountain and found them worshiping the golden calf. Who is behind the cloud? God, the lawgiver. Let me illustrate. The thick cloud, often called the Shekinah or glory cloud, was a symbol of God's presence in both the Old and New Testaments. Although the word Shekinah doesn't occur in Scripture, rabbis used it after the close of the Old Testament Hebrew canon to describe the cloud that housed or formed the dwelling place of God. The word Shekinah, from the Hebrew root meaning to dwell or to live with, and is used to refer to a dwelling place of God. The Shekinah, or glory cloud, was a symbolic medium to veil or cover the hiding of God. When I was much younger, I worked as a diversion unit officer in the Santa Barbara County Probation Department. There was the story of Maria, which was very common with the juveniles that I would engage with. Maria had run away at age 15, ran away from home because her parents' rules were too strict. She actually ran down and spent time on the streets in Hollywood. After almost a year of use and abuse on the streets of a big city, she returned home, a modern, prodigal daughter. Later, she told a youth group, "It took me 9 long months on the streets to finally realize that the rules which had seemed so rough and restrictive were sources of safety and security. My parents had established those rules not for their good, but for their own." Her story stuck with me. It's the same with God, the lawgiver. He was given us rules to live by, not for his good, but for our own good. If we honor and live by those rules, we can find joy, love, and fulfillment. Who is behind the cloud? God, the loving Father, and his Son, Jesus. In the gospel for the day, God, the loving Father, expresses his pleasure in his Son and the work of redemption that he is about to undertake. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The glory of that Son is always shining, similar to Laura with the sunglasses. The glory of that Son is always shining, even when we are under the cloud of misfortune and pain. The bright cloud that envelops those on the mountain of transfiguration may point to the bright cloud in which Christ will one day return. Who's behind the cloud? Jesus. In Luther's works, Martin Luther said in volume 12, "Holy Scripture frequently likens Christ to the sun, especially the prophet Malachi. For you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings." Or, "The natural sun sends forth a brightness and light by which it makes the day and awakens men from sleep." So Christ, who is the spiritual sun, sends forth the radiance and brightness of his gospel into the world and thus enlightens the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. A co-worker of mine from Minneapolis told me the story. I didn't check this with Laura so she can confirm whether or not this is true. During the long winter nights of cloudy skies in Minneapolis, the Finger Hut Corporation has a drawing amongst its employees. Winners are taken up in a large plane above the clouds to show them the sun is still shining. The sun is always shining, even when we see only clouds. In a similar way, God's grace and love in Jesus Christ is always present in your life, even when we see only the clouds of misfortune. As we come to a close, being human, we would like to live our lives perpetually in the clouds, in a euphoric state of being on cloud 9. This, however, is unrealistic in a fallen and sinful world. When we perpetuate such euphoric ideas, we practice a theology of glory rather than a theology of the cross to which we are called. The good news proclaims that behind the clouds of life shines our God, who has given us instructions for living a fulfilled life. in God's Son, who imparts to us the righteousness and forgiveness of his redeeming work on the cross. The transfiguration story is Jesus, and Jesus alone. So we are told of the disciples, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Amen.